Welcome in to Nashville Soccer Insiders. We are presented by Nissan and brought to you by the Nashville Soccer Club. I'm Julian Council, and it's breakfast at Wimbledon. The women's final is on right now on ESPN, so if you want to listen to us and also turn in TV, Venus Williams holding it down for the Americans, since American males cannot do that anymore ever since Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi got out of tennis, and Andy Roddick disappointed three times in the Wimbledon final. So thank you, Sam Corey, for getting my hopes up and losing yesterday. Either way, breakfast at Wimbledon, and we are here on Nashville Soccer Insiders talking Nashville SC. Unfortunately, last night, an amazing U23 team season came to an end because Charlotte Eagles defeated North Carolina FC 4-1, knocking Nashville U23's team out of the playoffs, losing out by a point. And I feel somewhat responsible, being from Charlotte and from North Carolina, that this is my fault. Kyle Roeke, Nashville U23 head coach, do you blame me for this?
No, I don't.
Good, man. Well, we had John before. We talked about just how great you guys were doing back then. You guys still had an amazing season. And yep. You would think a couple weeks ago, it felt like there's no way this team misses out on the playoffs, and then you miss out because you don't get to play two of the top teams, which is interesting.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to that, you know, Charlotte and Myrtle Beach were both on the other side of the division, and we didn't get to play them head-to-head, but still very proud of the season that we had and the amount of wins we were able to put together in our inaugural season. So,
what was your message to the guys if you've spoken to them since last night? They've been a part of history,
yeah,
being a part of this team, and they've been able to do a lot of cool things. I saw yesterday they're hanging out with Tottenham Hotspur mascot, which is an awesome mascot, by the way, over on the bridge outside of Nissan Stadium over the river. And, I mean, they had to hang out at the MLS to Nashville event where Eddie George and Lily, whatever her last name, Aldridge, was there.
Yep.
Just hanging out, announcing the whole bid process going on. So they've done a lot of cool things this summer. So what would you kind of just tell the guys after?
Yeah, I told them. I said no matter what happens, I was extremely proud of them. Whether we made the playoffs or not, that wasn't going to change my view on how I felt about them as a group and all the great things they did. Obviously, you know, we were waiting on that result last night, but like I told the guys, the goal is to come in and become better players, to go back to their college teams, but also what they did for the city, how much they've helped the club, just build momentum for the pro season. They did a terrific job in that, just in how they played and how they represented the club. And like you said, going out in the community and meeting different people and engaging with the fans, I thought, you know, they were fantastic all summer doing that. So
you've had some guys who already departed before the end of the season. So will guys now just disperse today or tomorrow, this weekend, just get back to their homes or colleges?
Yeah, we'll train. Part of the thing is, I told him this yesterday, is it's the number one thing for the PDL is to make sure they go back as better college players. So we'll take a couple days off, and then some of the guys who still live in the area or some of the guys that still want to stay in the apartments, we'll train up until their college season to keep them sharp. But we'll have a little team bonding, team dinner this week and get everybody back together. And then some of them will go their separate ways. A few of our guys, our starters, had left with a couple games to go just because of summer school and some commitments they had. But for the most part, we still have 17 or 18 guys here that we'll get together and keep working.
Okay, so 17 to 18 guys will stay on, which is
good
for them. Good Lord. Keep going out there training. And, hey, you can hang out in Nashville for a couple more weeks. I'm
Jim
Council. He's Kyle Roeke, Nashville SC's U23 head coach. So now for you, you're not even done working because you got to train these guys. And you also said you got to take your club team over to national championships.
Yeah, so I've got to train these guys. And then my girls' club team, we leave for the national championship next Sunday in Frisco, Texas. So I've got that all next week. My soccer life does not end. Yesterday, it keeps going.
Just go. So now, I guess, because we talked about it, your part of your job is the scouting process.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna, of course, you have clubs next week. You're gonna continue to train these guys. When we get towards August, when all of them are gone until September in the fall, what's kind of be your, not really your day to day, but kind of your week to week schedule up until, I guess, next spring and next summer?
Yeah, I mean, that will really come down to Gary as the technical director. I've been helping him scout the pro team quite a bit. So hopefully can help him more with that. I'll hopefully have some more responsibility as far as with the pro team and helping him scout and getting them ready. And also, you know, still keeping relationships with the college guys, you know, because the goal is to not recruit a whole new team every single year. The goal is to have a core group of guys that come back and that you really enjoy being around, that are good players and good people, and you can continue to bring them back. So,
listen, National Soccer Insiders here on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. So you're speaking about the guys potentially coming back next year. Does it feel like you have that solid foundation and core that is going to continue to come back? Because I know there's some guys who are upperclassmen that won't have the opportunity to come back, but it seems like the majority of them you feel like will be wearing the gold again next year?
Yeah, I think it's important that, especially the local guys, that we keep bringing them back. We're always going to have a few different guys that come in from different schools outside of Nashville, but you know, a guy like Will Emerson who plays at Yale, keep bringing him back, letting him continue to develop in the system and let the club continue to get to know him. There's a bunch of guys like that, Tanner Dietrich, guys like that, that, you know, we always want to bring back home so we can constantly evaluate them and observe them and see just, you know, how much they've improved during their college season and kind of what we need to work on during the summers to get them ready.
Is Will Emerson one of those guys sticking around?
Yes.
Yeah, good for him. I've been up to New Haven. It's fine. But Connecticut compared to Nashville, not even close. Not even close. So good on him for doing that.
Yeah.
You were talking about keeping momentum up for the U23, but for the pro team next year, the USL team that's going to be starting. I know everyone's excited about MLS to Nashville. We'll talk about that next segment about, you know, what happened last week and how awesome that was. What are kind of things that you think have happened, that you guys have done at least to keep up that momentum, to have people in this town excited for the USL coming next season?
Well, I think a couple things. One, obviously we were successful. We won a lot of games. Court and Gary preached that to me every day. But not only did we win a lot of games, I thought this group was a very good group as far as just being engaged in the community, being very well-behaved, being very respectful, presenting a good team to the community of good people as well, I think was huge. Something that fans will hopefully continue to see with the pro team, guys that are engaged in the community, engaged in not just being here, but also helping the community, I think is big for the club. Court stresses that. So I think, you know, it's a big – I think we did a good job in kind of getting that – letting the community see the club in that manner. So –
I know I was talking to Court a couple weeks ago when we were talking about just kind of the playoff hunt and whatnot, and the fact that there's a chance that had y'all made it, that you would have gotten to play the New York Red Bulls U23 team, and talking about how they hadn't lost all season, and that just seems like a product of the fact that they've had an MLS team for so long, that they have their own USL Red Bulls 2 team, and then they have their PDL team. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting to the point where, of course, you guys can have your USL and you're going to have your PDL U23 team next year. Mm-hmm. Is like this year, is this the foundation? Will the U23 team, you feel like, continue to be the foundation that can help your senior team to continue to be, well, hopefully in the future, to be strong?
Yeah, I think when Gary and I sat down and Court sat down, I think the number one thing is to give them a group of players that they can choose from. What do they choose? To take one of them? What do they choose to take five or six of them? But it's to give them the resources to be able to help them. And recruit a group that can ultimately contribute to the pro level. If we put two to three guys into that pro group every year, we're doing our job. Now, that's probably not going to happen every year. Some years we may put in four, some years we may put in one or zero, but to at least give the resources to Gary to be successful.
So outside of that, because you probably feel there's about two or three guys you have this year that can potentially move up there after their college season are over, you're just going to go – I mean, it's just going to be a traditional, we're looking all over the globe trying to find some guys to get down here.
For the pro team?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary and I have been putting a lot of time in. We actually have a scouting software that lets us watch teams from in different leagues all over the world. So we go week by week and kind of look at different games, the two of us, and then compare notes and who we like and kind of what formations thinking about playing and then what players would slot in well to those formations, because – there are so many pro teams now in the United States, which has changed. You know, there's USL, NASL. Obviously, everyone's going to go after the good players, but you've got to find guys that are right below that level that can fit into your system. Because as long as the season is in USL, you have to have a team that's deep, because everyone's going to have to play at a certain point. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting not only to find like guys that you know could be starters, but find guys that maybe could contribute. And then obviously Gary and I sometimes have different ideas and of who we like and who we don't like, and it's always interesting to hear him overrule me, but it's good. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, you get input, though. That's all that matters.
That's it. I give my input.
You're a part of the process. So yeah. I want to ask you one more thing before we go to break, and I want to talk a little bit about what happened last weekend with the whole MLS in Nashville and just the commissioner being here and the Gold Cup where Team USA looked awful. That's on the other side. Continue this talk about kind of scouting players. Is your foundation more going to be, are you looking for American players? Are you going to be looking for video overseas? Like, what's kind of the net you're casting out there?
Yeah, I think Gary said this in his press conference. We're looking for good ones, no matter where they are, what leagues they play in. A good player is a good player. So, especially with building a roster from scratch, I don't think it doesn't matter what league they play in or anything like that. If we go and see them and we think they can contribute to the pro team, I think they'll have a spot. But I think majority of the players will be pulled from the NASL or the USL for the roster.
Okay. Any possibility some guy just slips out of MLS, just grab him, bring him down here?
Yeah, and I think those will be some possibilities with some getting some guys on loan. I think a lot of the top-end USL teams are really starting to use that. Getting guys that may not be getting the time they want in MLS and taking them on loan to come into the club for a season just to get some time and develop. And hopefully we can start, have a couple good relationships with some local MLS teams, whether it's Atlanta or, some other teams to bring some guys in on loan because that's huge in the USL especially.
Yeah, seriously, so. Massive. So he's Kyle Roeke. Nashville SC U23 head coach. I'm Julian Council. On the other side, we'll talk about last weekend's Gold Cup, MLS to Nashville, and we'll continue to break down the season for Nashville SC. You're listening to Nashville Soccer Insiders right here on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Breakfast at Wimbledon. Venus Williams has won the first game in the first set of the women's final. Actually, you're listening to Nashville Soccer Insiders presented by Nissan and brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. I'm Julian Council. He is Kyle Roeke, Nashville SC's U23 head coach. And, of course, last night we found out the PDL season will not continue further as the Charlotte Eagles, the hometown team, not my Charlotte Eagles, but from my hometown, were able to beat North Carolina FC, my home state, 4-1 in their match last night. And just want to read a message out from the club that was sent out over Twitter on the @NashvilleSC account. Nashville Soccer Club thanks everyone for an incredible inaugural season leading up to the launch of the professional team in 2018. It was a year filled with many triumphs and foundation and has built for professional soccer to succeed in Nashville. Our amateur team had a great year, which included finishing third in their 11-team division with 6-1-1 record at home, thanks to our passionate fans. As Nashville SC U23 finished its seasons, Nashville's summer of soccer carries on riding the wave of a record attendance for the U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup match. I was about 47,622, I believe, was it? And the upcoming International Champions Cup in 2 weeks, Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester City will be in town. Nashville SC's future is bright and exciting as our professional team prepares to enter the USL next year. Thanks to our incredible fans, the best is yet to come. Our town, our club, our time. By the way, speaking of that International Champions Cup that will be here in 2 weeks, we'll have Andrew Yoach, who is a part of the International Champions Cup that's bringing Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur over to Nashville for what should be an exciting event. I'm curious to see what the attendance is for that. But Kyle, quickly, just responding to that message that the club put out there, a lot was in there for the fans. And I was pretty impressed to see people come out and support, which we'll see how it goes. Hopefully they continue to do so. But they supported a PDL team, a developmental team, U23 college players just here for summer. And they came out and they traveled to Memphis on match day one. Mm-hmm. And they came out to Vanderbilt Football Stadium and over to the soccer complex. And they were awesome. And it was cool to see that. So just if you have a message out for the fans and just your impressions of the whole first season, seeing what they did for you.
Yeah, I think what was very impressive to me about the fans was every game our home attendance improved. And every day, every home game, we got more and more fans. So I think a credit to our team that, we played a good brand of soccer and the fans kept coming out, but they've been terrific, not just this year. They've been terrific since we started, and they funded us. They paid for our bus. They paid for our food on the road. They're the reason that all this is happening because they gave us a team a couple of years ago when Chris Jones and a few other of us started this. I mean, they've been, everyone sees them this year because now we're getting more publicity with MLS and all this, but they've been the foundation since day one. I mean, they gave us a club. They funded us. So,
yeah,
it's been awesome.
super awesome. And I'm proud of Nashville to see that they jumped on and like followed this team right off the bat and didn't wait for something to come.
Right.
Because I know in some cities, like I think about Charlotte, my hometown, they had the Independence, which is a USL team, which I'm sure you guys will be playing next season. Mm-hmm. And everyone is thinking about the MLS bid there, which is a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen unless MLS just has no, you know, backbone at all to just give it to the right cities.
Right.
But they had a player up there who's like, don't sit here and wait for something to come. Like, we are your pro team already. And already see fans jump on and get behind the U23 team.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a positive message and absolutely points to a future where soccer, professional soccer in Nashville can be successful. And your club has done a phenomenal job in the few short months here in this first season. And I'm excited to be a part of it. So let's go to last weekend. The Gold Cup was in town. Everyone was excited. There was a gold record challenge, which was met. We were trying to get over 45,000 people. Got 47,622. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. The weather, not so much. About 95 degrees, blazing heat. But that's summer in the South. So I think we all understood what was going to happen. Then again, you could have hoped that they could have moved the game back later. I never understood the fact that
right.
U.S. is going to play at 3:30. Then the next game is going to be like at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone cleared out. And it's cooler. Like, have the U.S. crowd be there later in the day. You might get more people. It's going to be a lot cooler because you know so many people didn't want to go out there in the middle of the day, especially with their kids. So, but it was an awesome experience. Like, that was my first time ever seeing the U.S. men's national team. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was awesome. Like, what were your impressions of last Saturday and the whole weekend?
Yeah, I was probably one of 2,000 people that stayed and watched the second game. And those guys were running much better. It was a much better game just because, like you just addressed, it was so much cooler temperature-wise. I had very good seats and was with my buddies and watching the game. And one, I think the heat dictated the quality of the U.S. team. Also, I just didn't think we were very sharp right off the bat. Everyone points fingers at different individual players that didn't play well, but just as a group, after having such a long time to train, I think they expected to come out sharper. And then I think once we didn't start the game off well and then the heat wore on, now you're dealing with a lot of different factors. And that group had never been together before as an 11.
Right.
So it's something to be said for getting in a rhythm, knowing which guys, what relationships work well in different positions. But I'm a big Brad Guzan fan. I thought he played very well. So it was good to see that. And I think as they get through this, going through this cup, I think as they get some continuity with relationships and players and tactics, I think they'll hopefully start playing better.
Yeah, you listen to Nashville Soccer Insiders here on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. I'm Julian Council. He's Kyle Roeke, head coach of Nashville SC's U23 team. And you talk about continuity. At least for the men, like the first team, when you have those guys, when you have Bradley in the lineup, you have Pulisic, with the guys that were out there, like with Guzan and Bedoya, they're used to playing with each other. Like, they're used to going out and playing their club seasons and coming back together because, like, they're used to that. But you're right, with a lot of these younger guys, like, who are you throwing? Jordan Morris now. You're throwing in Kellen Acosta. Mm. Dom Dwyer.
Right.
Yeah, these guys, they've been doing their own thing. Like, they have not had many caps in the first team.
Right.
And now you're right. Like, they're coming together. You have a few weeks of training, but it's a completely different regiment that these guys are trying to get used to. And hopefully they look better. Now, was it Wednesday night against Martinique? They scored at least.
There we go.
that's the one thing. It was a 3-2 win.
Yep.
They looked good, at least scoring. Jordan Morris now has 3 goals in the first 2 matches, which is a bright future for that guy. And hopefully this continues and can carry over to, well, he probably won't play a role next year, at least in the first team of the starting 11 for the men's national team in the World Cup if we're able to qualify. But he'll at least be an option off the bench. But you got to be encouraged so far by at least what he's done in the future, at least pointing to brightness for him.
Yeah. I think Jordan Morris is, a type of soccer player that you're going to see more of, who is a terrific athlete that could have been a terrific athlete in any sport that chose soccer.
Yeah.
Like, you put him in any type of sport, he's going to be successful just because of his pure athletic ability. What we've got to start getting towards, and we talk about, Gary and I spoke about this, is for the last 8 to 12 years, center back has been always the position that we've always questioned on the U.S. team.
Mm-hmm.
We always rotate people. We always play different pairs. There's not a lot of continuity. We have to get better. We have to get better center backs before we go to the World Cup. Or we've got to get a pair that works well together because we constantly change that pair.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. We don't think it's going to happen.
We're not going to get any better ones.
But you look at the best teams in the world, center backs are never an issue for them. Germany's pretty much played rolled the same pair out. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the teams that you kind of want to compare yourselves to. We have to address the center back issue, and then ultimately, who we run up top is going to be huge. Does Dempsey stay in the picture? Is he aging out? Right, there's a lot of questions that you have to answer up top. But center back to me is the number one issue that has to get fixed.
Every other country in the world, except for Germany, I guess when they had Klose still playing at like age like 50 right. out there at the center, he's coming out the bench though. Like Dempsey has not aged out, at least for United States soccer, because I don't think we have a single person
right.
who is good enough to step in there and probably have the impact and role that he could have next summer in the World Cup. And I love how you bring up Jordan Morris as being like the future of, like. Athlete of soccer. Is he Aaron Judge though? Because we're talking about Aaron Judge,
right?
A lot of people make that commonality with Aaron Judge, saying like, hey, Judge could have played football because he offers at Stanford, UCLA, right. Notre Dame, play tight end, but he decided that he wanted to play baseball. Now yeah, the money in baseball is a lot better, but even still, this is a guy who's 6'7", massive, bigger than LeBron, who decided to play baseball instead of football, which is cool. So hopefully you're right where we get more guys who continue to say, like, you know what? I'm not going to play basketball. I'm not going to play baseball. I'm not going to play football. I'm going to play soccer, and we can have these great athletes. I think that's one thing that we've always missed. And people always say, like, oh, if we had, like, LeBron played U.S. men's national team, we'd be great. I was like, I don't know if I can buy into that because there's a lot of technical skills that go towards
right.
the game, and that's probably one of our major issues that we yeah. have with U.S. soccer.
He would be a good center back if they're hitting the ball in the air.
Yeah,
constantly.
Yeah. And even, I mean, Peter Crouch is like 6'8", but like he's not world class by any measure.
No.
But he's been good. So to go ahead and think that LeBron all of a sudden is just going to be amazing, I don't know if I can buy into all that.
right.
But right. it's fun to see. Hopefully, like, this continues. And now they have, Nicaragua coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm just frustrated because I sit here, and you can't take too much out of it.
Right.
But this is a competition where, in the group stage, they should be coming up 9 points. Shouldn't be 7. Damn sure should be 5 if they draw the next
right.
The next day or whatever. But
he has to put a group out against Nicaragua. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
He has to put a group out against Nicaragua that is going to be his team in the first elimination game.
Okay.
Because they've got to get some continuity. If he throws another completely different lineup out there, let's say in his mind he may be thinking he wants to rest certain guys, but to me, because they haven't played that well, he's got to put a group out there to get continuity. So when they hit the elimination games, they know, you know, what certain relationships are going to be tactically and things like that. If he throws another completely group out, well, then in the elimination game, more than likely it's going to be another completely different group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He rotated 7 or 8 players.
Yeah.
He's got to throw the group out that he thinks is going to give him his best chance to win the elimination game. And if they go up 5-0 and he subs certain guys, that's fine, but he's got to get some continuity
as far as
going in the elimination game.
And these are like a lot of – we're talking about the players just getting continuity. I mean, this Bruce Arena is like trying to figure out with these guys that he doesn't usually coach
right.
in the first team who he can rely on, which you're talking about. And it's difficult. And, of course, you know, he's had to make all these changes. So hopefully – when they play Nicaragua, they can figure out the right 11 that they can move forward with. And I'm interested in just his whole tactics and approach to this whole competition, because he left out Pulisic, and he left out Bradley, mm-hmm. and he left out Dempsey. And I can understand Dempsey, and I can understand Bradley. Pulisic, I would like to see him play, at least like be out here leading these guys.
Right.
Which I think, because these are a lot of guys, like Morris especially, who's going to be playing with in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd been interesting to see how he could potentially elevate these players and show his leadership moving towards a massive competition next year in the World Cup. So I'm just kind of interested in what Arena's motives are as far as this. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, but I feel like he's more just thinking about developing the future more so than even competing at the highest level in the Gold Cup.
I think you're exactly right. I think he came into this Gold Cup thinking, I've got to answer some questions about my depth going into Russia. Who's going to fill out my depth? If I have to put someone on the 80th minute to score a goal, who's going to be that guy going into Russia? If I have to bring a holding mid on for 10, 15 minutes in the Russia, none of these guys I think are going to play huge amounts in Russia. Other than maybe Brad Guzan.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else really is going to play huge, huge amounts. But he had to answer some questions about his depth. He had to answer some questions about just guys if they could, you know, fit in. Like Kellen Acosta, I think, definitely is playing his way into an elevated role.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jordan Morris, once you saw the other night, getting Dom Dwyer at least into a national team rhythm. Yeah, I don't think he came into this thing thinking we're going to put the best team together and try to win 7-0 each game. He came into this tournament trying to answer questions about his depth going into Russia.
Absolutely. You talk about the defense and thinking guys who might fit into the first team next year. I don't know. We might go full DeMarcus Beasley with Graham Zuzi and just have him out there.
There you go.
Because we can't find a back four of any significance.
Right.
That's just U.S. soccer. So we'll see. We got a long way to go. It was fun to see Nashville show up and go to that event. And, of course, in 2 weeks, the International Champions Cup is going to be in town. Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester City. Andrew Yoach on the other side. Kyle Roki, Nashville SC U23 head coach. Been nice talking with you, man. Best of luck
Thanks
in National Championships. Safe travels. Get some brisket while you're down in Texas. And next year we'll talk to you again. And hopefully we'll get to the playoffs and we'll see how the USL team does. So thanks again for joining me. You listen to Nashville Soccer Insiders on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Nashville Soccer Insiders. We are presented by Nissan and brought to you by the Nashville Soccer Club. Wimbledon final. Venus is tied 3-3 in the first set over in the women's championship. And looking outside, I was planning on going to the lake today, but apparently it's raining. So hopefully that clears up. Because it will really be a bummer to have to stay at home and watch movies all day. Either way, what won't be a bummer in 2 weeks, Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur of the English Premier League will be in town for the International Champions Cup. That's right. Two of the best teams in all of Europe will be right here in Nashville following what we had last week in the Gold Cup U.S. men's national team being in town, and I'm super excited. So let me take this time to welcome in Andrea Yacht from the International Champions Cup. She is a marketing director for ICC. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. What's our ideal temperature in Nashville for kickoff on the play night?
Well, what time is the match going to be at? What time?
It's a 5 o'clock kickoff.
5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock is only the hottest point of the day. So probably 95. Probably.
Okay.
So what we need to have is we need some
breeze coming off the river.
Yeah, well, see, it's not like, you know, up in Michigan and up there where we have the lakes and it kind of cools things off. What we need to happen is get a thunderstorm in the mid-afternoon that can cool things off, because otherwise it's going to be scorching hot. So hopefully you're in the booth.
Well, actually, that we had an event in Nashville this week, and we did have very nice light showers and some cloud cover that made it quite nice up on the bridge. So maybe I have some weather power.
Yeah, I did see the Spurs mascot up there, and I'm not sure how whoever was in there was surviving, because I wore a mascot costume in 90-degree heat, and I almost need an IV and go to the hospital afterwards. So hopefully
– Actually, I will tell you, I put my 17-year-old son in the same costume down in Orlando a few weeks ago for the mascot games.
No.
And, yeah, at one point, my husband thought that I was actually going to kill him. He survived. I'm happy to say he did survive.
Oh, you're building character, Andrew. You're building character. So.
That's what I said. It's important that they understand why you keep going to school and you don't want to do this forever. Although – the mascots are awesome. They love doing it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of the most fun things I've ever done. I love mascots, and being one was a dream come true. But either way, the point is it's going to be hot as Hades out here in Nashville when you guys come. But hopefully we'll luck out and only get an 88-degree weather, and maybe the humidity won't be up there. But, Andrea, I have you on. Actually, first off, before we get over to the International Champions Cup and we're talking mascots, you were with Minnesota United before. And, of course, everyone knows that MLS, they've started their inaugural season with MLS this year. How impressive and awesome is that to see that club have the success it's had so far?
It's been awesome. I heard you guys talking about Gold Cup and rosters earlier.
Yeah.
What's been really, really fun for me, because I was with the team when they were NASL, is watching some of the players that people probably doubted were going to make it in the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Players like Christian Ramirez really be successful in MLS. And so for me personally, that has been great, because some of them are really great, great young men, Christian particularly. And so watching him, there's a local boy, Brent Coleman, who plays in the backfield, who's born and raised in Minnesota. No one ever thought he'd be playing MLS. He didn't start the season starting, but now he's started almost every game and a couple others. So that to me has really been the fun part, is watching them make that transition and be successful.
Yeah, and that awesome new stadium they have over there. All the teams in Minnesota just have great stadiums, from Target Field with the Twins to U.S. Bank Stadium with the Vikings. So great times in Minnesota if you're a sports fan up there. But down here in Nashville, we're all just super excited about the potential of having MLS. But, you know, last week, the MLS and Nashville committee used the Gold Cup as a part of their bid. They had MLS commissioner Don Garber in town, part of their bid, and just showing the city or at least MLS, how much the city cares about soccer. And I'm pretty sure in large part they'll also like to see a large crowd because there's 47,622 last week for the Gold Cup. I think there are a lot of people hoping for a large crowd for the International Champions Cup with Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester City coming to town. What should we expect, at least, with these two clubs coming to town? How active will they be in the community? What kind of events will be going on leading up to the match?
Well, so we, when we were down there this week having our party on the bridge, we announced our goal of hitting 60,000 people in the stadium.
Woo!
We're over 44,000 sold right now.
Wow.
And actually, it probably hit 45,000 by yesterday. I hadn't checked the numbers, but we are well on our way to 60,000. So that is, we're calling it Project 60K for Nashville. And we absolutely believe we can hit that number. The match has been selling well from the very beginning, and we are looking forward to having over 100,000 people between the Gold Cup game and the ICC game will have watched soccer in Nashville in the month of July. And if that doesn't send a message to MLS, I'm not sure what else you guys can do.
I don't know. Hit them over the head with a frying pan and let them know that we like soccer down here. That's my only idea.
Yeah, you do.
Andrew Yock, for the marketing director for the International Champions Cup, which will be coming here in 2 weeks, featuring a Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester City at Nissan Stadium, 5 o'clock. It's going to be hot, so be prepared. Andrew, where can people find tickets?
So tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. There are still it's good lower bowl seats available, like in pairs and fours. You can't really get giant lower bowl seats anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the upper deck is fully open now, so there are plenty of seats up there to get. And then if you're picky and you really want to sit in the lower bowl, just spend a little time on the Ticketmaster seating chart and you will find seats.
My advice to anyone out there, having been at the Gold Cup last week, and if you're afraid of heat, which I think a lot of us are when it comes to late July, the dog days of summer in the South, the 202s on the other side. So we're talking like the 230s. That's in the shade, just so you know. So
I have to tell you, I was down for the Vikings-Titans game, the season opener last fall, and incredibly unprepared. I believe that the Titans gave all the Vikings fans the seats on the other side of the stadium where the sun was blasting right down on us at noon. And I thought I was dressed properly for it, but not enough water at all to be sitting up there, not enough suntan lotion. We had so much fun, though. It was my first time to Nashville and absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I take it you're from born and raised in the Minnesota area.
Yeah, not born, but have been there my adult life. So, yeah, but I have to tell you, we have come to love Nashville. So as much as a Wild fan can root for the Predators, we were all over it during the playoffs.
Well, we thank you for that. We thank you. And I'm sorry that things didn't happen, work well with Boudreaux. And you've only seen that happen before with Anaheim, so you should have known. But that's another conversation.
right.
I will say, and you talk about your love for Nashville, as we have Andrew Yock, the marketing director for the International Champions Cup, which will be here in 2 weeks. You talk about your love for Nashville, and I talked to Charlie Stilitano from the Relevant Sports Group who's helping bring International Champions Cup, and he started it and bring it to Nashville. He talked about his love for Nashville and how they want to continue to have Nashville on the docket every year. Now, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, so the last two summers we've had matches there. Now seeing the matches here, just tell us what about Nashville really attracted you, especially given the fact that Nashville up until now, which is building that – USL following the Nashville Soccer Club and building that bit of MLS that hadn't really had a large soccer growth or like, you know, impression to people that they're a soccer city. What about Nashville attracted you in that standpoint?
Well, one of the biggest things, there's a couple things that we look at when we're trying to pick cities. One, an important part is having a good partnership with a large stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans have been awesome to work with, all of them. So you have to have sort of a willing partner and a stadium that's, you know, wants to make sure it has top level playing surfaces. The schedule is part of the deal, right? The teams don't want to be crossing from Los Angeles to Boston on one flight. These are players that are in their preseason. And so they want to be able to have a match somewhere that breaks up their travel. But most importantly, it's really having partnerships with more than just one part of the city, because a lot of people aren't going to know Tottenham versus Man City. They're not going to realize how awesome these teams are. They're going to have a general knowledge of that the Premier League is really cool. But if you're a soccer family that's new into the sport, you're not going to be able to go naming rosters. So you need other partners in a city to help pump up the volume, talk to people about why this is going to be a fun night out. And we have all of those things in Nashville. I mean, people kind of laugh at me in the office, but all I talk about is how Nashville is absolutely my poster child for how you should handle anything in a city. The people from Visit Nashville, Nashville SC, the Titans, we had Mr. C from Vanderbilt out at the event. The Preds have been fantastic. Even during the playoffs, they were helping us out. We had Tottenham shooting them messages on Twitter, and the Preds were replying, and that was on game one of the finals. So everybody's moving in the same direction to continue to elevate this Nashville story, and it makes it a perfect storm to put 60,000 people in the stadium.
CC, MLS, that whole message is had there. Andrew, before I get you off here, and of course you guys can get tickets to the International Champions Cup match between Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur on Ticketmaster, and tickets are going away very quickly. So we're trying to get to 60,000. It was hashtag Project 60K for Nashville.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay,
yep,
cool. Got it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yep. So let me ask you this right before I let you off the air, and again, thank you for joining me. So from an outsider's perspective, as far as you're talking about, the MLS would have to think that Nashville's a great city to have a team. Are you surprised by just, I mean, we saw the Predators and how the city rallied around them, but are you surprised at right now just seeing how the city's rallying around soccer from an outsider's perspective?
I don't think so, because Nashville's such a healthy economy right now that people have the interest in doing things, right? It's a very active, busy – when I was down there a couple weeks ago and on a Wednesday night was out on Broadway with a friend, and I couldn't believe how busy it was on a Wednesday night on Broadway. So you have a community that is actively looking for entertainment. And while you have obviously a tremendous amount of entertainment – variety is good, and soccer is a great way to try something different. The Tennessee Soccer Association has also been amazing to work with, and you have a huge youth soccer base, right? That continues to grow. But most importantly, you have people that like to do things. And I've always said, in all these stadiums that we're going to, you can't fill a stadium with 60,000 hardcore soccer fans. Right. It just,
right.
Yeah, we all like to have that happen, but there aren't 60,000 hardcore soccer fans.
Yet.
You fill the stadium with a chunk of hardcore soccer fans and then people that just like to go do something really fun and try something different. And I think that's what's happening all over the place in Nashville, right? Is everybody is getting the opportunity to try new things, and soccer is the new thing and it's fun. Nashville SC, again, is doing a great job and everybody wants to be on board.
Absolutely. And I will say, Andrea, the Wednesday night Broadway response for me is it's exhausting to live in a city like this. So I got to get out of town every once in a while.
I did say that I'll be down in Nashville for the week leading up to the match, and I'm definitely going to have to pace myself. I am not going to go to Broadway the Wednesday night before the match because I won't make it till Saturday. But Saturday night after the match, Broadway is all mine.
Yep. Hey, Gatorade and Advil, the breakfast of champions. Andrea Yock.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrea Yock, the marketing director for the Nashville Champions Cup, coming here to Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Saturday, July 29, Tottenham Hotspur, Manchester City. So 2 weeks. Get your tickets on Ticketmaster. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And everything starts at 3:00. I know you'd asked that earlier. So there is a giant fan fest outside the stadium. Both of the teams will have big tents. There'll be a beer garden. So we invite everybody to come down early.
Okay, beer garden sold. Awesome. Thank you so much. International Champions Cup, guys. Beer garden, Tottenham Hotspur, Man City. Going to be awesome. You'll listen to Nashville Soccer Insiders here on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Nashville Soccer Insiders. I'm Julian Council, presented by Nissan, brought to you by the Nashville Soccer Club. Venus Williams up 5-4 in the first set of the women's final with a chance to break, actually a double set point right here against somebody from Spain. Not really sure who it is, but either way, go Venus. So last weekend we were just talking about with Andrea about how awesome International Champions Cup is going to be and how awesome Gold Cup is going to be. Talk Kyle Roki from Nassau SC's U23. He's the head coach of them, all about the Gold Cup and how MLS to Nashville has been something that people are super excited about. Last week, Braden Fitz had Brian Strauss on from Sports Illustrated to talk about whether Nashville should get an MLS team. I wanted to play the conversation last week, didn't have time, but I want you to hear this because Brian Strauss, one of the foremost thinkers and writers of soccer in America, here's that conversation with Braden Fitz on whether Nashville should have an MLS team.
I'm going to ask you a very direct question that everybody needs to hear the answer from a smarter mind than either of us. Should Nashville get an MLS team right now in your mind?
No.
Why?
Because there's still something to prove there. There are two kinds of markets in MLS. I mean no disrespect to Nashville when I say no. What I saw during the Predators run was incredible, and it was an atmosphere in sort of the traditional North American sports that would translate so easily and seamlessly to soccer that I am more than convinced that soccer would work there. But that doesn't mean that there should be a team awarded right now, and this is the reason. There are two kinds of markets, okay? There's the markets that an MLS, a league that needs to grow, a league that needs people want better players in MLS. You know how that happens? TV revenue. You know how the TV revenue happens? Bigger contracts. That happens by having more viewers in bigger markets, okay? So that's why MLS chases Miami, Atlanta, Minneapolis, et cetera, et cetera. Top 20 markets that a major professional league needs to be in to have that critical mass. Okay, then there's your other types of markets, and those are the markets like Orlando and Portland and Kansas City and Salt Lake, and we've seen them around MLS, smaller mid-sized markets that prove their worth, that go to the league and say, you need to be here because we have a soccer culture that's going to make this league better, that's going to make the sport in this country better. And they prove themselves over time with fan support, with culture, with history, with color, with all the kinds of things that make Portland like a major soccer market, even though it's not major really in anything else. So that's what Nashville is, obviously. Nashville is not and like Cincinnati and like a lot of these other markets that are pursuing the league, MLS doesn't need Nashville. They don't have to be in Nashville. So what Nashville has to prove, like Portland has done, like Orlando has done, is that it is a market that is going to be so colorful and so supportive and so awesome that it's going to make the league better. And obviously, without a pro team, without a stadium plan, without any of those things in place, Nashville hasn't done that yet. So that's why I say no, not yet.
And I think it speaks to sort of the priorities of the league, because they've come out and said many times that they want to spread out this geographic footprint, especially into the Southeast. But you're not going to do that if you can make a boatload of cash somewhere else. So geography seems to be down the list, at least from the priority standpoint for the MLS. Does that sound fair?
Market size. The MLS needs to hit a home run with their next TV deal, which is, and this is not my wheelhouse, there are other writers who cover this better than me, but 2022, 2023, somewhere around there. So, you know, the pressure on MLS right now is that they want to be considered major league, but, you know, but there are four or five really good players on each team instead of seven or eight really good players on each team. And that money is going to come from TV. I mean, that's why the Premier League and La Liga, and then obviously in our country, you know, how come all the great basketball players around the world want to play in the NBA? TV money. So that's the next step for MLS. And that only happens with eyeballs. That only happens with Nielsen and you know, look at the, you know, go to Nielsen's website and look at the top 20 markets, you know, the top 25 markets, media markets in the U.S. That's where MLS wants to be. So when people say, how can Sacramento, you know, Steve's story yesterday in The Scene about how Sacramento is a shoe-in, and people are like, how can Sacramento be a shoe-in? Look at the media market list. Sacramento is the 20th largest media market in the country. It's a top 20 media market. So that puts them in a different tier than it puts Cincinnati and Nashville and San Antonio and Raleigh and a lot of these other cities that are competing for these next bids.
We're talking to Brian Strauss from Sports Illustrated. Let me ask you, because I think, you know, we have to reset our expectations as fans, because this isn't the NFL where you feel like you can just drop a team anywhere and they'll come. Is there any credence to the discussion that Julian was having here with us earlier that maybe the MLS should just slow this whole process down and only expand by two teams now and wait to see who's most qualified later?
My opinion on that changes kind of by the day. Because at first, you know, it was like, oh my God, look at all these people falling all over themselves and wanting to get in the league. And you've got like, you know, billionaires butting each other in line to try to get in. And why not just take them all? Why not expand by 10, you know? And then a few months later, St. Louis trips up and San Diego trips up and Charlotte's got problems. And all of a sudden you're like, my God, are there even going to be four viable bids when we get finished with this thing? So I think it again comes back to, not to be boring, but it comes back to the TV issue, that expanding by expand. They want to go into the next round of TV negotiations with as many big markets, viable teams, attractive places for potential TV partners as they can. So while it might make sense on some level to do exactly what you've said, and I've thought that sometimes they should, why leave out two potential big TV markets the next time they go into their negotiation, especially when you've got cities like Detroit, Phoenix, Tampa, et cetera. I'm sorry, Tampa, St. Petersburg. I don't want to get any nasty tweets. they really get mad about that.
Where's Carlos Valderrama when you need him?
You know, when you you know, you want to go into those negotiations with as many big markets as you can. I mean, that's why, you know, why is NYCFC still playing at Yankee Stadium? Why did MLS rush that second team in New York? Because of the TV deal. So it all comes back to, and the league, and it's not cynical in a way. I mean, people want the best players possible, and the league is trying to deliver that to them. It's not a ploy. It's just that's where the money's going to come from.
Brian Strauss from Sports Illustrated on Braden Fitz last Friday. Awesome stuff there. You might not agree with him, but it's ongoing bid. I think that Nashville showed at least last weekend that they can follow a soccer team here in MLS, and they're going to follow you. They've already shown they can follow you, a U23 PDL team with Nashville Soccer Club, and then USL next season. Hopefully everyone shows up. And, of course, as we're talking with Andrea from ICC, the National Champions Cup coming in 2 weeks, they're playing for 60,000 people. They already have 45,000 tickets sold. So Nashville is quickly proving that they are a soccer city, because they just went through the whole process of trying to prove that they're a hockey town. Now we're trying to prove that we're a soccer city. So great stuff there from Brian Strauss. Want to break down more of this next week. Next week, final show for National Soccer Insiders of the summer. I'm pretty sure we'll be back next summer. I can't promise it, but I'm pretty sure. Either way, I'm Julian Council. I'm going to the lake in my backyard since it's storming, and I'll talk to you next week. This has been National Soccer Insiders presented by Nissan, brought to you by National Soccer Club, on here, ESPN 94.9, Game 2. Talk to you next week.